Very much for the invitation, and I'm going to talk about a joint work with Piotr Sinyadi. So some part of it will appear soon in Translation AMS, and some is coming soon. So I will more talk about non-commutative random matrices and relation between non-commutative random matrices and classical random matrices in the somehow in the in relation with the talk of Greg Cooperburg yesterday, and only speak a little bit later about the Weingarten calculus on enveloping algebras. So let me start perhaps with some motivation. If I take rho to be an irreducible, a polynomial irreducible representation of the unitary group UN, well, it is known that one can, all these irreducible representations are in one-to-one correspondence with decreasing sequences of integers, so a1 bigger than a2 bigger than an, with all the ai being integers, and I'm going to call lambda that correspondence. So usually I'm going to call lambda sub rho the n-tuple a1 up to a n. I'm going to associate in a natural way some measure which I will call mu sub rho, which is 1 out of n sum, so it is going to be a measure on the real line, and this measure is the sum of Dirac masses at the AIs, so j between 1 and n of delta aj, and well, with some kind of abuse of notation, when I'm talking about epsilon times mu rho, this is just the rescaled probability measure. So this is a probability measure. This is still a probability measure, which will be just 1 out of n sum for j between 1 and n of delta a j, and so this is the setting in the case of an irreducible representation where I define either an element lambda sub rho in a convex cone subcone of L to the N, or a probability measure, and I also need to say what I want to do if rho is not irreducible, and I will follow an idea that has been developed quite a bit over the many past years. So if rho is not irreducible, so if it is a finite dimensional reducible representation, let me write it as the direct sum, let's say, over a family rho tilde of irreducible representations. So this is irreducible representations here, and I call C sub rho tilde the multiplicity, the number of isotypic components of rho tilde in that representation. And what I'm going to do is, instead of lambda, this time is not going to be a deterministic element, it is going to be a random element according to a probability measure, to the following probability measure. So P, the probability that lambda rho is lambda rho tilde is just C rho tilde times dimension of rho tilde divided by the dimension of rho. And in the same way, the probability that mu sub rho is mu sub rho tilde is C lambda tilde dimension rho tilde divided by dimension of rho. So the general picture is that if I have an irreducible computation, I associate to it my map lambda is deterministic, and if it is reducible, this is a random map, and this is the same for the map mu. And the result that was proved by Philippe Bien in 1995, so this is a theorem which is due to Philippe Bien, which was published in RIMS in 1995, is that if I take some sequence epsilon n that tends towards zero as n tends towards infinity, so this is going to be a scaling like that, and for each and I am going to assume also that epsilon n goes very quickly to zero, in the sense that epsilon n inverse is bigger than some exponential times n, so that there exists some C strictly positive which satisfies that property. Then if for each n I take rho n 1 and rho n 2 to be irreducible representations of un which satisfy the property that epsilon n mu of rho n 1 tends in moments towards some probability measure mu 1, and that epsilon n mu of rho n 2 tends towards some other measure mu 2. Then if I look according to this, if I look at the tensor product of rho 1 and rho 2, this is not irreducible anymore. So the map, this element is going to be a random measure. So mu of rho n 1 tends rho n 2. And what one has is that almost surely this tends, as n tends towards infinity, towards the free additive convolution of mu 1 and mu 2. So this was proved by Bien in 1995, and this was somehow our motivation for trying to look into that. Namely, the proof that was given by Philippe was using quite involved asymptotics of the characters of the unitary group, and to our mind it looked somehow that we should try to, I mean, that there might be, I mean, this proof also was UN restricted somehow. I mean, it was not so clear to see what would happen if one would take another semi-simple Lie group. So we wanted to try to see the relationship. I mean, if we could give a direct proof through random matrix theory, through classical random matrix theory. So the idea is that when she tried to look at what the map lambda is in the general setting. So the setting in which we want to work is the setting where G is a compact connected matrix group. So it is a subgroup, a compact connected subgroup of some U to the N, and then one has G to be its Lie algebra. And what one is going to consider here is if I take rho, an irreducible representation of G on V, I have the notion of highest weight. So the highest weight is an element of the dual of if I take a Cartan subalgebra, and this is an element of the Cartan subalgebra quotiented up to the Weyl group. And what I do is that if rho is an irreducible representation, I associate. So I say that lambda of rho is just if I call alpha this highest weight, I say that by definition this is just alpha. And if rho is reducible, then I follow that picture here, and I just say that okay. So here, so V I can write it again as sum of V sub alpha C alpha, and I say that the probability that lambda rho equals alpha is C alpha dimension V alpha divided by dimension of V. And the other thing that I want to say here is that if we have now I can in a natural, since I can see if I look at the adjoint action of G onto on its Lie algebra, I can write the Lie algebra G as the Cartan algebra plus a direct sum of eigenspaces for the adjoint action, and I can say that H star is the dual of H is included in the dual of G by just saying that it's a function that vanish over all the non-zero eigenvalue spaces. And now to each element X in G star, there exists, there corresponds some element Y in H star such that Y is conjugated to X, and this element actually is unique if one sees it in H star quotiented by the Weyl group. So this shows that there is a one-to-one correspondence between measures mu on G star which are G invariant, so probability measures which are G invariant, and measures on H star quantified by W. And somehow, I mean, if we look at what happens in the case where G equals the unitary group, this set is exactly the set that I described here. So we want to think of this as a measure, as a probability measure on the let's say the set of generalized eigenvalues. You see, the idea is that if I have now a true classical random matrix which is G invariant, and when I say random matrix, this is a matrix with values in G star, I can automatically look at the push forward of its probability distribution under this map here and call it once again lambda sub I. And this is the notation that we are going, and this is a definition of lambda which we are going to need also for stating our main theorem. So the second thing that we need, and that idea was already contained in the paper of Philippe Bian, is the following. If I look now at rho to be once again a representation of G, well, I can think, if I look at the differential around the close to the identity, I can see it as a Lie algebra map from G to the endomorphism space of V with its natural Lie algebra structure. And the idea that was already around during the paper of Philippe was that element, actually one can say that element belongs to G star, to the dual of G tensor and of V. And now the interesting thing here is that and of V is a non-commutative probability space. This is a non-commutative probability space which comes up with its trace, so the character of the representation. And with this respect, rho can be seen as a non-commutative random vector. So non-commutative random vector in which sense? Well, in the sense that it admits a star distribution in the sense of Voiculescu. So, one can talk about the star distribution of rho in and V with the character. And now the result that we have is that if the theorem that we have is that if we take a sequence epsilon that tends towards zero, this is going to be a crucial assumption here, the following are equivalent. The first statement is that and if I take rho n representation of the group or the Lie algebra, I have that epsilon n times rho n, this is a non-commutative random vector, it converges in star moments towards towards some random matrix, random matrix A. So this is here a G dual valued random vector, which is G invariant, and epsilon n of lambda of rho n tends in moments, so as n tends towards infinity, towards lambda of a, where lambda was defined here, and this is so the push forward of the generalized eigenvalues of generalized random matrix somehow. So far we still don't have a generalization of the result of Philippian. However, we can. This gives us new applications. Okay. So new applications. So, well, in all the applications, obviously the fact that epsilon n tends towards zero is going to be crucial. The first result is that if I okay, so if I assume that I have that my group G now is included in a group G prime, which have the same property. So I have a Lie algebra inclusion, G included in G prime, and I take a sequence of representations of a G prime, and I assume that it satisfies that lambda of rho prime of Gn tends, and here one can actually say that it tends just weakly, and tends in probability towards some lambda, towards some probability measure on H, on the dual of H quotiented by the Weyl group. Then one has that if I let rho n to be just rho prime n restricted to G, just the restricted representation, one has that lambda of rho n tends weakly towards the lambda. So let me say that here this is lambda of some a, right? This here we are going to have lambda of the projection of the random matrix A onto the Lie subalgebra. And the second result that we have, which is also somehow in the same, so it looks, that result really looks like somehow a classical probability result. I mean, there is just a classical probability statement here, but in order to prove this, we need that result and to get rid of the moment problem, we also need some approximation property. So the second result is that now if I take the same group G, and I take, let's say, rho 1 N and rho 2 N, two representations which satisfy that lambda rho 1 N tends towards some, let's say, lambda of A1, and then lambda rho 2 N tends towards lambda A2. Here and here also. Thank you. Then we have that epsilon n lambda rho 1 n tends rho n 2 tends towards lambda of the following random matrix A1 plus U A2 U star, where these two guys are independent, and so U is independent from A1 and A2, and is distributed according to the R measure on the group G. So one knows, in view of all this, yes, what I wanted to say is that this is also here we are happy with the weak the weak convergence, and we obtain the weak convergence here. So even though we might be dealing with non-bounded probability measures, we still have that the limits are the same, and there is no moment problem issue around. So when in view of this, the result of we still don't have the result of Philippe-Dien if we prove this. So somehow the original motivation and the original aim and these theorems are slightly different, because we are in finite dimensions, so we are proving something different. However, we know that random matrices if I assume that I'm allowed to intervert to make somehow some limit intervention procedure, I know that that if the spectral measure here was converging, happened to be converging that one as well, then this that here would converge almost solid towards the free additive convolution of these two measures. And so here is what we can actually say in the N tends towards infinity case. In the N tends towards infinity case, just for simplicity, we stick to the case that G is of type UN, and the result that we have is the following. I also forgot to say, but that was mentioned by Greg Kuperburg yesterday. We can also give another proof of the result of Kuperburg of the central limit theorem in that specific case, using these tools that we introduce, and we can also give a new proof of the result of Johansson about the RSK correspondence. So now back to our original motivation. What happens in the case n tends towards infinity? The result is the following. Let's assume. So we need to assume that epsilon n is bigger than n cube, and this is somehow a technical assumption. We don't know we don't know if we can do better or not. We just happen that this is is what we were able to do. And now, well, the theorem is the following. Yes, thank you. Okay. Some people are following. Good. So, if I have, okay, so rho n, so yes, so epsilon n tends towards, in particular, epsilon n tends towards 0. If rho 1n is an irreducible representation of, is an irreducible representation of un, polynomial 1 and rho n2 also we satisfy that mu of rho n1 tends towards mu1 and mu of rho n2 tends towards mu2, then we obtain that almost surely mu of rho n1 tends, and okay, epsilon n here, epsilon n mu of rho n1 tends rho n2 tends towards mu1 free additive convolution mu2. And actually we can even say more. We can say that okay, so let me erase here. If we look now at the integral over of d mu of rho n1 n, so okay, rho n1 tends rho n2 of, so here I should put some epsilon n and I should put some x to the k. So this is a random integral. And if I look, so this is a real valued random variable. And if I look at this family of real valued random variables, so with, let's say, for k belonging in n, well, asymptotically, it has the same distribution as n tends towards infinity as, so let me write it and then say, explain what I mean later on, trace of, oops, so what I should do here, there is a small mistake. There is a small mistake here. So here I should send, so okay, this is a random variable which I should center. So integral xk epsilon n d mu rho n1 times rho n2, and I should multiply this by n. And so now I have an infinite family of random matrices where this has the same distribution as the following, asymptotically, as the following random matrices, trace of A1n plus U A2n U star to the K minus expectation of trace AN1 plus U A2 N U star to the K. This is I'm still speaking of an asymptotic joint distribution in moments, and where I did not define what's the A1N and A2N, well, this is just constant matrices which satisfy that so A1n is an n times n self-adjoint random matrix, which satisfies that mu of A n 1 tends in moments towards mu 1, and same for okay for I equals 1 or 2. And it is not clear a priori that, I mean, here I'm saying that the arithmetic limit of this and the arithmetic limit of that are the same. Well, it is actually not clear at all whether that arithmetic limit exists or makes sense also, but it was actually proved by Mingo, Speicher, and Schneider that this is actually a Gaussian vector arithmetically, and they compute explicitly the covariance matrix of this Gaussian vector. So a few words about how to prove this result. How to prove these results? Well, especially the ones as n tends toward infinity. One question that we actually have to solve is to compute. We should be actually able to compute things like. So if I have rho a representation, let me stick to polynomial representation of UN, so I can associate the normalized character to this representation, and the problem that I have is to compute chi of x, where x is some element of the enveloping algebra UN, so enveloping algebra of the Lie algebra, and well, what is a typical element here that we may want to compute? Most typical example is so a typical well, this is going to be linear, of course. So typical x to compute is x equals ui1j1 uinjn, and in the case where, so let me just recall that in the case of the unitary group, so if let's say that uij are entries of uijs are entries of U where U is distributed according to the R measure on the unitary group. We wrote a formula for computing this kind of integrals. Namely, we had something like integral of ui1 j1 uin jn u I prime 1, oh, I should put k here, ui prime 1, j prime 1, ui prime k prime, j prime, k prime, equals, well, if, with respect to the Haar measure, is going to be 0 if k and k prime are not the same, and if they are the same, what one should look is all the possible pairing between I and I primes and J and J primes, which are labeled by permutations of the symmetric group on k elements, because here k equals k prime, so this is product for L between 1 and k of delta I k I prime sigma k delta, so chronicle delta J k J prime tau k times some function which depends on tau sigma and the dimension n, which was first introduced by Weingarten and then rediscovered by Feng Shui and then by a couple of people later on. And actually it turns out that in this case, well, this is not exactly in the same setting, because we want somehow to look at directly at a conjugacy action, but what we see is that in this setting, so let me maybe write something here. One has chi of x, so here this is this element that I write here, and this is going to be the sum over sigma and tau permutations of sk of the same kind of Kronecker delta I L between 1 and k I sigma k delta J L J tau K times some new function which depends on sigma tau and N, and here it has to depend on the rho also, and we actually by looking carefully what would be the same thing if we replace uij by aij, where a is a un invariant random matrix a distributed invariant with respect to the whose distribution is invariant under the action of un by conjugation, and if one applies this, one sees that actually at least we could establish where has the theorem gone? We could establish that in these cases we would have the same kind, so we would have something like expectation of A I1 J1 A I K J K would be something like, I mean, we would exactly have the same kind of summation formula here, and the Weingarten function here, and depending on the eigenvalues of A would be actually very close to that Weingarten function here, and this is how we prove that result. So I'm quite early, but I think I'll stop here. Thank you for attending.